Welcome to Dr. Emmett Miller's Healing Times Radio, Conversations with Extraordinary People. This show can be heard on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Friday at 1 p.m. and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to dreamvision7radio.com, click Listen Live, and enjoy the show.
Hello, this is Dr. Emmett Miller. Welcome back to Conversations with Extraordinary People, where our goal is to look beyond the superficial and reveal the essence, to explore hidden dimensions of life's challenges and discover new and powerful ways of healing, balancing, and optimizing the function of mind, body, emotion, behavior, and spirit. In each episode, we bring you intelligent conversations, practical tools, and experiential guided imagery meditations to help integrate the wisdom our guest brings us at both the personal and collective level. So, it's time to relax, focus your mind, and open your heart to the power that you have within. And welcome to another paradigm-shattering conversation. Today's guest is Jonathan Robinson. As we were planning for you to be on the show today, Jonathan, I thought about some of the greater collaborations of the past because of our upcoming collaboration. Can you imagine the day when Antony said to Cleopatra, you know, maybe we should get together? Or when Lewis said to Clark, hey, what do you say we go on a little trip?
Or Lennon McCartney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just those moments. Abbott and Costello, maybe more like it. and Jonathan came to me, and he had an idea. And we're going to talk about that because the idea had to do with creating a program. And the name of the program is From Sad to Glad.
How to overcome stress, anxiety, and depression and feel happy again.
And that voice you heard was none other than John Robinson. John, welcome to Conversations with Extraordinary People.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
Tell me what inspired you to bring up the idea for this program.
Well, I was doing a program called Deeper Happiness, 1 month to a lifetime of greater fulfillment, and I realized that depression is a really big problem as I studied happiness, and anxiety is a big problem. I think I told you the numbers that people spend $86 billion a year on antidepressants in America, and antidepressants have been proven not to work, really, for most people, above the placebo effect. So I thought that between you and me, we had the wherewithal and the amount of jokes and the amount of information and the amount of exercises to put down a really good program, and I'm proud of what we created.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, a friendship besides.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. So just for a moment, just tell us a little bit about you and why you would actually aspire to creating such an important product as this.
Well, you know, when I was... I like to say, depression runs in my family. And in fact, it practically gallops in my family. It's been difficult for my siblings and my parents. And at age 12, I saw that everybody in my family was depressed, including me, which is when I had my midlife crisis, and I decided to go a different route than everybody else. So I studied happiness and self-help and hypnosis and meditation and yoga and everything weird that I could possibly get my hands onto. And within a couple of years, I was no longer depressed. As a matter of fact, within really a couple of months, I started to really use this stuff, some of the things that we talk about in our program. And I kept getting better, and my brother and sister kept getting worse, and my family was having a hard time. And I was a little bit surprised that they didn't use the stuff that was working for me. So eventually I became a psychotherapist and wrote books and got on a lot of TV shows, Oprah and all the other shows, and ended up reaching a lot of people. But my forte is really giving people ideas and methods that can be done usually in under 2 minutes a day, because I saw that I was so lazy that if a method took longer than that, I probably wouldn't do it. And I think that's really true for people who are suffering from anxiety and depression, that it's very hard to be disciplined. So I kind of developed that niche, which ended up being a good niche because people like books and things like that that cover very practical ideas. So I was always trying to help the people around me and help me. And some of those ideas worked, and that's the type of stuff that I include in our program.
Mm-hmm. And so you thought you'd come to me and talk about it.
Well, I knew your stuff and liked it, and we ended up living in the same town, mm-hmm. which is unusual because the town is 2,000 people. Mm-hmm. But when I found out that, and I said, hey, I want to finally meet you. I interviewed you for a book 20 years ago, mm-hmm. which I was interviewing spiritual leaders, and you were in good company. I interviewed the Dalai Lama and Mother Teresa and Deepak Chopra and people like that, and mm-hmm. and then somehow I was able to snag you as well.
I was probably the only card-carrying agnostic that you interviewed for that book.
You tried to get all types in that. And you were going through your religious conversion.
Yes,
at that
true.
Time.
That's true. Well, it was interesting when you came with the idea for this program. You know, I looked at the fact that, you know, in my beginnings, you know, I was a general practitioner in medicine. And so the bottom line was people came into me because they were hurting or they couldn't use some organ of their body or they were, you know, feeling bad inside, whatever was going on. And I discovered this whole set of tools whereby I didn't have to use the drugs and surgery that were available to me for, you know, 80 or 90% of the problems came into my office. I began to realize were being caused by something else. The notion of stress is important here.
Yeah.
And, of course, the name of our program being SAD, sad to glad. SAD stands for stress, anxiety, and depression. So from SAD to GLAD. And this is exactly what I found, is that when I began to use tools and techniques that could enable people to deal better with their stress, when I began to teach meditative techniques and self-hypnotic techniques and prayer techniques, as soon as we got rid of the excess stress in people's lives, most of what they had got better. And then as they learn some cognitive skills in terms of how to think and retrain their brains, that would make their bodies get even better. But soon I began to realize that in order to really reprogram your body optimally, you have to have some energy inside. You have to be interested in living. And the more depressed people were, the less energy that they had to put into healing this part of their body that they had every ability to heal. And likewise, if the stress in a person's life was producing anxiety, they were too distracted by their worries and their fears and this overactive amygdala in their limbic system that they weren't able to focus on things long enough. Because in order to change the brain, you have to make it do certain exercises. Everything that you want to do, there's a muscle that can do it for you. But if you haven't exercised that muscle, you're not going to be able to do it. So I soon found myself really having to treat a lot of people who had depression and anxiety. And so it was perfect. I developed a number of tools over the last 30, 40 years for dealing with that. And by putting them together with yours, yeah, we could create a program that treats the entire spectrum. And in this program, we talked about that spectrum. It's not like either you're depressed or you're healthy or you're clinically depressed or whatever, there's a spectrum at which one end of the spectrum is you're incredibly happy, in total bliss, the happiest moment of your life multiplied by 10. That's one end of the spectrum. And then there's normal happiness. And then there's kind of okayness. And then there's people who are sort of neutral and people who are a little bit flat and people who kind of feel down or what we, you know, what we'll call dysthymic. It's not really a diagnosis, but you're feeling crummy, you know, and then there's mildly depressed, and then there's more severe, and then there's really suicidally. So we have this whole spectrum. And so our idea was to focus on wherever you are in the spectrum, figure out where you are, and here's some tools for moving in the direction you want to go. Mm-hmm. And the tools were of a particular type because they have to do with using your brain and your thinking in a certain way.
Well, what I like about the program that we created is that generally when people try to solve a problem like depression or anxiety, they use one very limited approach. It might be like antidepressants, or it might be a type of therapy. But in reality, most people don't really know what's going to help any individual. You know, I've talked to psychiatrists, and it's like throwing a dartboard as to which antidepressant to give someone, or whether to give them an antidepressant, because antidepressants don't work above placebo effect for most people. So what I like about the program we create is that it really has like 7 sessions or 7 approaches. And, you know, it's like if somebody goes to a doctor and their liver is bad, you want to treat the liver. But when somebody's depressed or anxious or stressed out, you don't know what's going to be the key. So we deal with like these really simple ways to feel immediately better in under a minute. It might be doing an act of kindness for somebody that helps people feel better, helps people feel happier, or laughing. But then there's the thought element, you know, how to help people with their thoughts. A lot of people fall into thought loops that are really detrimental, and you need that as part of the program. And then you need physical stuff. You know, a lot of people are eating the wrong things, or they are not taking some nutrients that might be useful for them.
And there are so many studies that show if you exercise your body, a certain number of people are going to get out of their depressed state, or mm-hmm. from wherever they are on the continuum, they're going to feel better if they exercise. Other people take nutritional substances.
Right. So by giving people a week on each of these pieces of information and saying, hey, try this exercise, it'll only take you a couple minutes, or try this exercise and see if it works for you. You learn through your personal experience what is the key to you moving higher up on that spectrum. And it's different for different people. You know, for me, meditation has worked fantastically. I've taught meditation to other people and they say, that's the worst thing I've ever done in my life. So you can't necessarily know until somebody tries something. And so by having a lot of different tools, a lot of different approaches, people are more likely to get the results that they want.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. There'll be something there for everybody.
And the other thing I think that was so nice, I know that working, you know, for so long, these are things that we've been practicing for a long time, mm-hmm. but now there's actually scientific evidence that supports the kinds of things that we're talking about. You talked about some smiling and doing things for other people. In the studies they've done, what's the most reliable way of people feeling better at any given moment?
Well, it's really a matter of how much time and energy you want to put into it versus how much effect it has. Let's take something like volunteering or doing an act of kindness for somebody. That takes a certain amount of time and energy. It might only be 5 minutes to tell somebody what you appreciate about them. But that gives a very significant boost to most people. Or you could go on a vacation. A vacation is going to be a boost, but that's a lot of time and energy. So you want to have a range of things that can be done in 20 seconds, like smiling. You know, smiling somehow tells your face and your emotions that you feel better.
And what are the studies behind that one?
Well, one of the studies showed that having people hold a pencil in their mouth so that their face is smiling for an hour a day was more effective than antidepressants. with less side effects.
Without telling people that you were making them smile.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that they were moving their face in a certain way seemed to have an effect on their physical body.
And what about doing something kind for someone else?
Mm-hmm. Well, what they found there, and when one of the times when I was on Oprah, I talked about this because she was really interested in that, and that is that a simple act of kindness that takes 2 minutes or less gives the most bang for the buck, meaning you can actually increase your level of happiness by about 30% in 2 minutes of doing an act of kindness for a stranger or friend.
A car for you and a car for you.
Hopefully it's not that big. As I said, it could be a kind word. Mm-hmm. It could be, can I get you a cup of tea? Giving somebody a flower or making them breakfast. All these things seem to have a major effect on you. And, of course, it also helps your relationships as well.
And gratitude.
Yeah, gratitude is a big one. When I talk to all these spiritual leaders, one of the questions I asked was, what's one of your favorite spiritual techniques? And I was surprised that gratitude was the number one technique of the spiritual leaders of the world. It wasn't focusing on love, which I thought it would be. It wasn't meditating or prayer. It was focusing on what they could feel grateful for. Mm-hmm. And in this day and age, there's a lot to feel grateful for, but you have to focus on it. So one of the simplest ways is to simply start using the mantra of thank you. Like, thank you for my health. Thank you for this meal. Thank you for this friend. Thank you for the shower that I had this morning. Thank you for having a sunny day. We're experiencing a drought here, so the other day it was raining. I said, thank you for the rain. You know, that gratitude is very close, and it's very powerful for helping people to feel better quickly.
And so the interesting thing, of course, is that a person who's kind of feeling down, is sort of feeling beaten, who's kind of feeling not very much self-esteem, was kind of feeling sort of helpless and sort mm-hmm. of hopeless, and you tell them, well, you know, I want you to smile mm-hmm. or to think of something funny or watch a funny story, read a joke book, or hold a pencil in your mouth if you need to, or, you know, sit around and feel grateful for something, feel gratitude, or actually go out and do something for somebody. What, are you kidding me? As bad as I'm feeling, somebody ought to be doing something for me. You know, did I tell you what they did to me yesterday? Can you believe? You know, but, and that's because that's the rut you're in. That's mm-hmm. the series of thoughts. That the series of thoughts causes your brain to grow a neural network, and therefore, at the slightest provocation, your brain will slip back into that net, like a car slipping into a rut. You slip into that rut.
And well, the only difference between a groove and a grave is a couple of feet. So if you keep on that grave or that rut, you're going to dig yourself deeper, and it's then hard to get out. So these simple ways at first can feel a little weird. You know, if you're smiling, feeling depressed, or if you're going for a walk, you're going to face resistance for about 15 seconds. But if you can get through that 15-second period, you will actually feel better and more energized at the end.
15 seconds to happiness. You just have to get over that little, and then that little hump is about your brain deciding, you mean you want me to create a new neural network? I mean, do I really have to?
Right.
But you have the power to get your brain to do that. The brain starts creating, it's what we call neurogenesis and synaptogenesis. You actually rewire your brain by saying these things.
Right, right. And when a person
doing them
has anxiety or depression, they have kind of created a wiring in their brain that is stuck and is in a groove. So my philosophy is give people 20 different ideas as to how they can rewire their brain. Some of them they're going to hate. Some of them they're going to think are okay. And some of them they're going to take to right away. Really, when I was depressed as a teenager, it was really just one or two very simple ideas that knocked me out of it. Recently, my brother was very depressed, and I gave him 5 methods, and he hated 4 of them, just refused to do 4 of them. But one of them He said, I guess I could do that. And he did that one. And 2 weeks later, he was feeling totally better. So, you know, I feel bad for people who think that there's only one way or one method to get out of how they feel. They try that and then they give up hope because that one didn't work.
Let's talk about the different things that we addressed in that program. I think the listeners would be would be interested in that because we have, what, six
different sessions or approaches.
And then a sixth.
Or a seventh
CD. CD, which is...
seventh CD I really like because it's so simple. They're what we called power meditations. And I think there's 11 of them. And they range from 2 minutes long to 15 minutes long. And all you have to do is you can move your finger a quarter inch and press play on your iPhone or iPod. And this meditation guides you to a better place. So maybe one meditation is about how to tune into gratitude. Another meditation is about how to release negative feelings. Another meditation is how to take an issue that you have with somebody, like a relationship, and let go of it so you can get to forgiveness. And what I like about methods like that is that they take really no effort, but they can really guide people to the next higher level.
And some of those meditations are incredibly short.
Yeah, I think a couple of them are about 2.5 minutes long. So you can, you know, play them while you're in your car or wherever, and that makes them very convenient. Once again, I tried a bunch of stuff on myself, and I said, this works, that doesn't. And what worked, I generally included in on the program.
And so... let's talk about some of the other approaches. We talked about the nutritional approach, and we kind of went over the St. John's wort and 5-HTP and SAMe, what you can do in terms of diet. And what really fascinated me in the research I was doing for it was the role that your gut bacteria play.
Yeah.
And that the bacteria in your gut are actually a functioning part of your nervous system.
You know, people never think of that we're a very complete organism, so our program is very holistic. You know, you ask people, how do you feel? Oh, I'm not feeling so good. They would never say, well, why aren't you feeling good? Well, I think it's my gut bacteria, you know. But that can actually be a big influence. Or nobody says, why do you not feel so good? Well, I am caught in some thought loop that I've fallen into. You know, that so you really have to give people approaches that deal with thoughts, approaches that deal with their physicality, and also approaches that deal with their relationships, which is a big impact on depression, and an approach that really even deals with their spirituality, like their meaning and purpose in life. Because when people have a real clear meaning and purpose, they usually don't fall into depression or anxiety holes.
And so there may be some people who say, I'm totally not interested in spirituality, so they can just ignore that
exactly
part of it.
Yeah.
And we're given, and, you know, but if you're an experimental person, then you may want to try each of the parts and see which ones you resonate with first.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You are listening to Conversations with Extraordinary People, a publicly supported program. We support you with the massive website, drmiller.com, the free newsletter, and regular free guided imagery and meditation gifts. You can support us by visiting our online store at shopdrmiller.com. That's shopdrmiller.com, where you will find my audio and video programs featuring self-help, healing, and peak performance guided imagery meditations. You can also support us by telling your friends and patients and those on your mailing list about what we have to offer. You can learn more about today's guest,
Jonathan Robinson,
at
findinghappiness.com.
And you can purchase a copy of the program that we're talking about today, Sad to Glad.
At our website, which is fromsadtoglad.com. It has lots of information and articles and other things on the website. Oh, by the way, the 2 in From Sad to Glad is the letter, is the number 2, fromsad2glad.com.
We're so internet savvy, aren't we?
Oh, yes, we are.
We are incredible.
Not.
I might say that I thought we did a really good job of really talking about the new science. I mean, you know, a lot of these ideas are pretty ancient ideas. But again, we have science now behind it, like positive psychology.
Well, that's a real breakthrough because, you know, 20 years ago, positive psychology didn't exist. But various researchers have really studied what leads people to being very happy or what leads people to being very resilient, meaning being able to come back from difficult circumstances. And there's an incredible amount of data in terms of general things like knowing that relationships are very important, that meaning is important, that finding an activity or a hobby or work that's engages you is important. But besides that, they've even gone to the effect of specific techniques and how much they tend to be effective. So, you know, 15 years ago, they didn't know that exercise increases your mood a lot. Now they know. They didn't know that volunteering does that, but now they know that. They have the research. But a couple of things that I have found really interesting is they've come down to very precise exercises that we include in the From Sad to Glad program that take about 2 minutes a day that have been shown to be about 10 times more effective than antidepressants in helping people feel better. Mm-hmm. And the reason they're not more popular is nobody's figured out a way of making oodles of money from it, as the pharmaceutical company has figured out.
It's a truth. And what's the, and now, as you say, we even know how these things change the brain. Mm-hmm. Because when you do an act of gratitude, when you experience gratitude, when you do something kind for someone else, when you exercise, these kinds of things, it increases a certain chemical in the brain called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And that is a chemical that causes new nerves to grow. And so when you're doing something that's positive, you secrete this brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and new nerves begin to grow and start to create this new neural network for you. Mm-hmm. And you can actually measure that certain things you do cause the brain-derived neurotrophic factor to be secreted in all parts of the brain, whereas stress and anxiety and depression cut it off. So it stops you from growing any new fibers in your brain because your unconscious mind, your limbic system, thinks a saber-toothed tiger is after you. This is not the time to write a poem or feel romantic.
Yeah, yeah. I think of it as we're growing the technology for how to help people feel better. And we're learning what research really shows, what the MRIs are showing, what also tracking people's moods show. For example, one of my favorite ideas is this thing called 3 Good Things. This is an exercise that takes about 2 minutes a day to do, that, as I said, has been shown to be 10 times more effective than antidepressants in helping people feel better. And it's a very precise method that really gets people to change their identity. A lot of depressed or anxious people have a very bad self-identity. They think of themselves as depressed people, and that certainly doesn't help. So what this method does is it slowly changes your identity to think of yourself as somebody who is bringing good things into the world. And it does it by kind of every night you think of what's one or two good things you did that day that you felt good about. And slowly but surely, it starts to change your thinking process and starts to change how you think of yourself, that you're creating good events in your life. And when you change your identity in that way, it has a huge effect on your mood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm hopeful that when people try the latest technologies, they get better results. You know, I have the latest MacBook. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a computer from 25 years ago. I have the latest, and it works really well. And I think when people learn the latest psychological and also supplementation methods, that they get better results.
Yeah, well, I always look at it's like upgrading your operating system. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you still have a computer that worked fine for you 10 years ago, an old Mac or an Apple IIe or something like that, you cannot deal with the world that's there now.
Yeah.
You need an up-to-date browser if you're going to browse the internet of today.
And the world has more stress than ever before. There's, you know, if you want, there's more things to be depressed about than ever before.
And yet, the software that we come equipped with is the software that worked fine on the in Kilimanjaro.
Yeah.
Back in the Serengeti, it worked fine to have this fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. And because your stress only came for very short periods of time, and either you lived or you died. And if you lived, you were happy again. You didn't see another stress like that for a long time, so you had this long recovery period. But of course, the intense stress that we have now keeps us under stress all the time. So what we need to do is upgrade that operating system.
Yeah, corporations do it all the time with their networks, but we need to do it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't, then we end up falling behind, and it's harder and harder to dig ourselves out of that.
And that falling behind could be being depressed, or it's really falling behind in terms of not being as creative as you'd like to be, or having the friendships or the love that you'd like to have.
Yeah. You know, one of the things positive psychology research has found out is that happy people make $750,000 more over the course of their lives than unhappy people in the same jobs, which is pretty amazing. And then they also live 9 years longer than unhappy people. And they raise happier kids, and they contribute more to society. So I think of trying to be as feeling as good as possible is one of the best things a person can do for their family and for themselves, for their marriage, for sure, because happy people have half the rate of divorce of unhappy people. That it really, when you're not stressed and when you're feeling good, almost every part of your life works, whether it be financial or parenting. And when you feel lousy, every part, including your job, goes poorly.
So don't worry. Be happy. You'll live longer, make more money, have happier kids, and more rewarding relationships.
Yeah, I see that as really part of our spiritual journey, is how to take the events of life, which are always, a lot of times difficult, and become stronger. And that's really a technology, how to use events in your life so they don't bring you down. They just make you stronger and better.
But isn't life a veil of tears? Aren't we here to suffer?
A lot of religions have said that, or at least the distortion of those religions. And I think we have to upgrade that operating system as well.
Okay. Bring on the religions. Before we go to some samples, because I'd like to show people just a little bit of what we've put together. I think I think they'll enjoy it. But what are some of your favorite suggestions for moving from sad toward glad?
Well, I think one of the power meditations we'll do, which is like 2 minutes, is how to sit and stand or walk in ways that help you to feel good. I call it the cakewalk, because you can imagine you're a superhero and you're walking like Superman or Wonder Woman. And by doing that, you can feel really good.
Okay, let's play that one.
The cakewalk will help you feel energized and confident in under 2 minutes. So get ready to get energized. Stand up if you're not already standing and put a smile on your face. Now take a very deep breath and forcefully let it out, like you're quickly blowing out a bunch of candles. Great. Do it one more time. Take a deep breath and forcefully push out all the air. All right. Now stand as straight as you can with your chest forward and shoulders back. Get a look of total power and determination on your face, like nothing can stop you. Imagine you're a Superman or whatever character inspires you to feel powerful and unstoppable. Good. Okay, now walk as if you were that person or superhero. Keep that look of determination on your face and stride like even bullets can't stop you. Walk quickly if you can and feel the power and energy in each stride. Imagine people are happy to see you since you're here to save the day. Let your arms swing forcefully as you walk and keep your chest forward and your shoulders back. Remember a time you felt completely in your power. Allow your body to feel energized and unstoppable. Fantastic! Even after you stop listening to this, you'll maintain that same feeling of power and confidence surging through your body. Good job.
Kind of, in a way, it's like a moving meditation if we wanted to, lift it to that lofty level. Mm-hmm. It certainly works. And then we also have the kind of meditation where you kind of go within.
Yeah. I'll give one that's also a short one, about 2 or 3 minutes, called the Caring Heart Meditation. You'll hear it in a moment. The idea behind this one is that you tune into someone that you really care about. It could be a person or an animal. I often use my dog, or a baby. And you connect with them inside in your images. And they found that 2 minutes of this meditation can reduce your stress hormone levels of cortisol for 5 hours.
Wow.
So it's a powerful thing.
Well, let's listen to it.
Make yourself comfortable and slowly close your eyes so you can dive more deeply into your own caring heart. Begin by taking a deep breath and then let it out with a sigh. Good. Now feel your chest area and imagine you can take a very deep breath from the middle of your chest. Now hold your breath. In a moment, I'll ask you to slowly exhale, and when you do, imagine you can exhale out your chest. Okay, now begin your slow exhale, and feel the warmth and relaxation in your heart and your chest area as you let out all your air. Good. Now I'd like you to imagine in your mind a person or a pet or a young child you have great affection for. Choose just one for now. As you think of this being, remember a special time you had with them and how good it felt to share this moment with them. Imagine them giving you a look that reminds you how much you care about them. If you want, you can imagine hugging or holding them in a way that helps you to feel even more connected. Remember other special times you shared with them. Allow yourself to feel your care and gratitude for them being in your life. If you want, you can imagine telling them how much they mean to you and seeing how happy that makes them. With each breath that you breathe, allow the feelings of affection you have to grow even deeper and stronger. Feel how grateful you are that they're a part of your life. Feel the warm spot in your heart and allow that sense of care and peace to remain as you slowly come back to the room. And when you're ready, take as much time as you need. You can slowly begin to open your eyes.
All right, I think I can feel my cortisol sinking like the Titanic right now. Let's say a little bit about power phrases. People are really interested in those.
Well, power phrases can be really short phrases that are good reminders that help you get into the best part of yourself or help you to get out of a hole that you may have fallen into. Like, for me, a power phrase is thank you. You know, because when I feel grateful for something, I feel better. Mm-hmm. And just remembering that. But a power phrase might be, well, it's only a story in my head. That can be a power phrase because, mm-hmm. you know, we sometimes get so lost in our stories. Well, it's just a story in my head. Mm-hmm. It could be a way to get yourself out of it. But I know that you've done a lot with affirmations and power phrases. And really, I liked how you gave a bunch of examples in the program so people could say, yeah, that one could work for me. Or people can create their own ones mm-hmm. once they know the idea behind it.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's a few of the ones that we used in the program.
Okay.
And the idea with power phrases or affirmations is to, first of all, open your mind to receive. And then repeat these to yourself as if you really mean it. And it really begins to create a new pathway in your mind. So here are some of the ones that you'll find in the program. So to begin with, if you're in a place where you can do so, let yourself sit back and relax. Close your eyes if you wish. And give yourself permission to become present. Take a deep breath in. As you let it out, let it be a feeling of letting go completely, as if your body is releasing all stress and tension. Take another deep breath in, and as you let this one out, imagine you're breathing all unnecessary thoughts out of your mind, coming into the present moment, opening up your imagination. And begin to picture yourself in the future, an image of yourself as your true self, the person that you really want to be, a person who's happy, who's full of potential. And step into this image and imagine that you have reawakened within yourself your inner joy. And then, repeat to yourself with conviction, with each breath out. Right now, I am aware of the power of my mind to influence my emotions, my attitude, and all my behaviors. I have the power to choose my thoughts, and by choosing my thoughts wisely, to choose my emotions and my actions. My mind is more powerful than any negative thought, and I choose to free my mind of useless negative thoughts. I know who I am, and I accept myself fully, without judgment, criticism, or concern about what others may think. I give myself permission to pause for a few moments, stop, think, and honor the deeper wisdom and guidance within me. I have the power to say no to things I don't want to do. Because I own my own power, I am fully responsible for the choices and decisions I make. No one can stop me from choosing to live my life happy and free. I love and accept myself the way I am, and I love and accept others in the same way. I have the power to forgive myself and others completely, and I choose to use it wisely. I realize that happiness doesn't come from getting something that I don't have, but from recognizing and appreciating what I have and who I am. I'll do that over. I realize that happiness doesn't come from getting something I don't have, but from recognizing and appreciating what I have and who I am. Good. And now just imagine you can let those thoughts sink into your mind. Imagine that those thoughts, those statements, are beginning to cut a groove, to grow new nerves and synapses, and that in the deeper levels of your mind you are beginning to believe the things that you are saying to yourself. And as you believe, so it is. Okay, good. So just a few moments so we can let that sink in. It looks like we've just about run out of time here. It's been so great having you with us here on Conversations with Extraordinary People. And now, of course, you're an official extraordinary person.
Ooh, that's why I did this program, so I could get that reward.
We'll do it again.
No, it's always a pleasure, Emma. And, it's been a wonderful collaboration and surprisingly easy and fluid, and getting to work with your daughter, Erin, and I just really enjoyed the whole process.
And we're still friends.
Yes.
Okay, so to round out our time together today, I want to just go back and say a few words about the notion of stress. So when we talked about stress and anxiety and depression and how they can be transformed into happiness, we didn't say too much about stress itself. And I think that when you understand what stress is, it introduces you to the understanding of a very vital principle for living a life that's not only healthy, but in which there's also positive reserves of energy for you to use for creativity, for getting better grades, developing positive relationships, or just enjoying being happy. The principles that you can bring to bear when you understand stress are some of the important keys to living a life of satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness. And the first principle to learn when you're looking at stress is that stress is not something that comes from the outside, but something that is generated totally from within us. We have a tendency in our world to talk about the stresses in my world, and that person's a stress in my world, and don't give me any stress, etc. But in fact, it doesn't really come from outside. It comes from inside. Stress is the result of how we are reacting to what we perceive to be a demand that's being placed on us. So if we're about to go to an examination which promises to be a difficult one, the specific response to that demand, assuming you want to get a good grade in school, is to study extra hard. That's a specific response to the demand that you get a good grade in a course. But most people in that kind of situation will feel a certain amount of fear. Sometimes it rises to the level of anxiety, even to the point where it's difficult to study for the examination that we want to do better in. Some people will even feel panic. Some of us at that time will eat more or will smoke cigarettes or use this or that drug. We'll find ourselves pacing the floor, having difficulty sleeping. And still other people can develop a headache or a stomach ache or their blood pressure will go up, etc. All these are non-specific reactions to the perceived demand. Non-specific because they do not serve to specifically resolve the imbalance created by the demand. When you feel a demand on you, there's an immediate imbalance within. The direct response is to do whatever is needed to restore balance. The non-specific response is all the other things that we do, and they are, by definition, symptoms of stress, not stress. Symptoms of stress. The second principle, then, is that we cannot see stress directly. We can only experience symptoms of stress. In a way, it's kind of like love or beauty. You can't see love, but we all know the symptoms of love, the fluttering heart, butterflies in the stomach, inability to concentrate, etc. And from that, when we're feeling that, that begins to give us a clue that, in fact, we may be in love or that someone is in love, but you can't see the love directly. You can look at a beautiful painting, but you don't see the beauty directly. The same thing with stress. We can see the symptoms of stress, but it's not like you can look exactly at the stress itself, because it's all happening electrochemically within the brain, within your brain. That's where the stress is. That's where it is manufactured. And we want to see and we want to know what these symptoms are of the stress that's in us, to know those symptoms, because they can tell us when, in fact, there is stress in our system that may need to be lowered, because there's no little button inside that lights up that says, you're under stress. So you need to look at those symptoms, your headaches, your backaches, your outbursts of anger, or lack of motivation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are symptoms. The third principle is the principle of balance. Stress is only one half of a normal, healthy cycle. In our normal environment, when something major comes along, we tense up with stress. It's the alarm reaction. Then we deal with the situation, and then we get to relax. Problem is that in the world that we live in now, the stresses are never ending, and there is no specific place that we can act to make that stress stop. And so we are then stuck in the position of responding continuously with a destructive pattern within the body. We're breaking down the cells of the body to convert them into glucose to fight off a saber-toothed tiger. But that only takes a few minutes. Either you win or you lose. Instead, we're under that catabolic pressure hour after hour, sometimes day after day, week after week or more, and sooner or later one or another organ or organ system starts to break down. We could call that the target organ, but what it really is it's a signal to us. It's like that little light on their dashboard that lights up and says you're almost out of gas. And that's something that we need to pay attention to. Sages from all times have told us that balance is important, that there must be pain as well as happiness in life, that happiness itself is a quality of the journey, not of the destination. And now our scientific studies are showing us the same thing. and that as we bring ourselves into balance, stress goes away, our performance in every way improves, including the healing of the body, which is just high performance of the cells. A fourth principle of stress comes from Dr. Kobesa's work at the University of Chicago, who, working with individuals in professions where they experience constant pressure and unremitting demands in a condition of constant overload. Sounds like practicing medicine to me. Demonstrated that the primary difference between those who became ill and those who stayed well was simply a matter of attitude. And she found three things. Those who stayed well were committed to whatever the challenge was in front of them. And in fact, they saw what was in front of them as a challenge, not as an obstacle. It was a challenge. It's, ooh, let me see how I can figure this one out. Ooh, let me see how I can get around this one. And number three, they somehow felt that they had a sense of control, that their actions could actually have an effect on the world around them. So if you can begin to think of the challenges in your life as challenges that you're looking forward to, if you're clear that you are committed to achieving something and eliminating this stressor is just part of the job, and thirdly, feel a sense of control, in particular that you learn some of the tools that can give you control over your thinking and over your life, then you will have less stress, and what you do have, you can deal with right away. The fifth principle is that stress is also good for you. It's just when it comes in the right way. For instance, when I would go skiing, and I like to ski those really steep slopes, the kind you can spit down, you know, and watch, yeah, really steep slopes. And before I go down, I see the rocks, I see the trees. I kind of pick where I'm going to carve my line through all of this. And I'm breathing, my heart's beating faster, my hands are a little bit moist, and I'm tense, and I'm under stress. Man, but I love it, because then I take on that challenge, and I conquer it. And at the end, I feel great. I was in control. I really was committed to doing it. And so recognize that it is stressful situations that really give the spice to life. Look at it and see how it is in your life. And finally, the sixth principle is that stress management is an inside job. You have to take responsibility for learning about stress and learning how to deal effectively with stress. A really good program for doing this that you can find at drmiller.com is Letting Go of Stress. A CD or a download which features myself and Stephen Halpern playing the music. Also, there's a 10-minute stress manager which gives you a very rapid way to reduce the stress. And if you really want to learn how to harness that stress for peak performance, look at Personal Excellence, Life Mastery Through Mental Imagery. It's a 6-CD program that is pretty extraordinary. So that's about all for today. To learn more about From Sad to Glad, go to fromsadtoglad.com. That's From Sad, the number 2, and then glad.com. And thanks again to today's guest, Jonathan Robinson. And if you have any questions, comments, or contributions you'd like to share with us, please do. Join our ongoing conversation at facebook.com/AskDrMiller.
You've been listening to Dr. Emmett Miller's Healing Times Radio, Conversations with Extraordinary People on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. For more information about Dr. Miller's work, his upcoming events, new programs, and how you can change your mind and change your life, visit his multimedia website at drmiller.com. That's drmiller.com. If you would like to take advantage of Dr. Miller's 20% discount on all of his MP3 guided imagery programs, visit shopdrmiller.com, locate your desired program, and use the promo code DREAM, all lowercase, when checking out. Conversations with Extraordinary People is produced in the drmiller.com studios. Special thanks to Jesse Churchill and Deborah Beauvais.